All right. Well, get your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 18. We're going to be in Acts chapter 18 today. But please stand for in honor and respect and love for God's Word. And we're going to read, first of all, verses 1 through 5, and then we're going to read verses 18 to 21, and then 24 to 28. So we're going to stay here in Acts 18. We're going to read these passages of Scripture, skipping around just a little bit. I'll have you read out loud with me all of the even verses, and I'll read the odd verses. Acts 18, here we go. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. We're going to skip down now to verse 18, and you'll read with me in verse 18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow. And he came to Ephesus, and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue, and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. Now let's go down to verse 24, and you'll read with me, and all the way through the end of the chapter. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man, and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was Christ. What a wonderful story we have here. And only for sake of time, we skip the rest of it. But you can go back and read the entirety of the chapter. But we find some characters in this story. And these characters exemplify what we want to focus on this year. Each one, reach one. These people, starting with Paul, continuing through Aquila and Priscilla, and then to Apollos and others, they did what we're wanting to do this year. They showed that this is the way God has for His church. For us, for me, for you. God wants us to reach people for Him. And that's what we're going to endeavor to do this 2021. No matter what comes, we're going to do what God wants us to do in reaching people. Last week, I introduced to you our theme of this new year. It's on our church calendar. It's on the cover of the bulletin this morning. And it's each one, reach one in 2021. Okay, lots of ones there, okay? But last week, if you were not able to be here or you were not able to watch online, I talked about the reach of one. We focused on the each one in the each one, reach one theme. And that one is you. You. Lighthouse Baptist Church member. You. You're the each one. You have value. You have a measure of the grace of God that's been given to you through salvation. And we ought to use that to reach others. We've been given the measure of sanctification, living a life of purity and holiness to extend our reach to others. And we've been given a measure of soul winning, a measure of a desire and a dedication and a devotion to tell others about Christ. And the more we speak, the more influence we'll have. The more we hand out gospel tracts and be a witness, the more God will give us opportunity. See, we have a reach that God wants us to have. We have a reach and a value is each member in the body of Christ. We are to reach others for the Lord. Today we're going to focus on the reach one. On those that we are to reach out to. So today the title simply of the message is to reach one. To reach one. And we have a wonderful example and story here in Acts chapter 18. There's no doubt in my mind that the Apostle Paul practiced this principle. When he went to a city, he had a plan. He knew exactly what he was going to do. He was going to go right down to the synagogue, and he was going to start to spread the influence of Jesus Christ among those that already believed in the one true God. They said they did. They were Jews. They were God's people. And they read the scriptures. And he took those scriptures, and he, of course, being Pharisee of the Pharisees, was able to very quickly deal out something that they weren't ready for, and that's the witness that the scriptures have of Jesus Christ. And very, very, very meticulously and carefully, Paul oftentimes was able to reach many with the gospel of Christ through that witness in every city. He'd start with the synagogue. And when they'd had enough and they didn't want to hear him anymore, he turned to the Gentiles. That was his MO, his modus operandi. That's what he did. Okay? And Paul went through, but I can just see Paul going to the city and he is looking for someone. He's looking for one. Because you know how it starts. It starts with one. Starts with one. And God says that we ought to go out and reach that one. And then reach another, right? And another, and another, and another, and so on and so forth. But it starts with one. If you never start with one, you haven't started, have you? You're not going to start with 10. You're going to start with one. And one turns to two, and two turns to three, and three turns to four. Four turns to five. Five turns to six. Such and so forth. And then you get 10, right? I mean, that's how it was with us. We started with one, and then we had two, and then we had three, and then four, and then five, and six, seven, eight, nine, 10, and 11. Now we have 11. Okay? If we'd have started with 11, I think my wife would have just left and just said, forget this. I'm talking about children. Y'all understand. Okay. Right? And some of you had one and said, no more. That's it. I understand that too. Now listen. But it starts with one. So today, let's focus on this Bible method here and see what happens if we each one reach one. So to reach one, we first need to find one. If you're going to reach somebody, you've got to have somebody to reach. And they're just going to miraculously show up at your front door and say, what must I do to be saved? I don't think so. That ain't happening, is it? You got to do something. You got to find one. Look at verse 2 here in Acts chapter 18. We know that Paul, in verse 1, departed from Athens and came to Corinth. So he left one city, came to a new city, and look at what it says. And found a certain Jew named Aquila. He found him. He walked into Corinth. Da-da-da-da, just came from Athens. Preached on the unknown God, right? And people believed in Athens. In Athens, of all places, people believed Jesus Christ. And he sails across the sea there, and he comes into Corinth. And what? He found somebody. There was Aquila. Now, they had something in common, right? They were tent makers. And I bet you as he's walking down the streets of Corinth, Paul notices, since he is of the profession of tent making, he notices another tent maker. You know how a businessman can always tell another businessman, right? And a butcher can always tell another butcher, and a mechanic can always tell another mechanic. And you know, these people have a kindred spirit about them, right? He found one. He found somebody that he could talk to. He found somebody he could relate to. He found someone that he had something in common with. And I bet you Paul just began talking to Aquila and found out that he was born in Pontus and he had lately come from Italy because Claudius threw him out. And then, oh, here's my wife Priscilla. And he met his wife and they had a nice time because they were of the same craft. They struck up a conversation, right? They got to know one another. And here's Paul, right? Traveling preacher. Probably doesn't have a place to stay. More than likely doesn't have a dime in his pocket. Right? He said, oh, you two are nice people and we're of the same craft. Hey, you know what? If I work with you, you think I could have a place to stay? Well, if I give you some time and do some work and you know, I'll pay my way that way and that way it won't be a burden to you. We can put out some more tents and we could sell some more tents and that would take care of the cost of living for myself. And, you know, that's probably a conversation how it kind of went on. And they agreed. He said, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought. He worked. For by their occupation, they were tent makers. He struck up this beautiful friendship with these people. But the Bible tells us that he found them. He found them. He was looking. Are you looking? Are you really looking for someone? This 2021, with a theme on our publications here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, each one, reach one. Are you looking for one? Who have you found? I don't know how long Paul was in Corinth before he found Aquila and Priscilla. It doesn't say. It could have been the very day he arrived. I don't know. It could have been a week. It could have been a month. The Bible does not say. But it does say he found one. He found one. Oh, what a joy to go out into our community looking for someone to share Christ with and find one. They're out there, you know. They're out there. There are people who are looking for God. Anybody remember a man named Cornelius? Yeah, Cornelius. Cornelius was a just man. He was a devout man. The Bible even tells us that he loved God and he prayed. But he did not have salvation. So God gave him a vision. He said, hey, send some men down here and pick up this guy. Old Peter, right? Sitting on a housetop, taking a nap. Has a wonderful, miraculous vision. Love it. All manner of beasts. Rise, Peter! Kill and eat! Hallelujah. Hunting dreams. I want this big. Right? Hey, is there a guy named Peter here? Yeah, he's supposed to come with us to our master over in... Oh, well, okay. Goes and preaches the gospel. Cornelius gets saved. And his house. Get baptized. Hey, listen. God wants us to find people. He's going to send them our way if need be. But he wants us to go out looking for them. You know, Peter wasn't looking for Gentiles. He was preaching to the Jews. And God said, hey, you need to broaden your scope here. Hey, folks, we need to broaden our scope. Who are you looking for? You know what? You have neighbors that aren't my neighbors. You have coworkers that aren't my coworkers. You do. I'm really working on my coworkers at Trinity. They're just tough sort. But you know what? You have coworkers. You've got family that aren't my family. You have friends that aren't my friends. Acquaintances that aren't my acquaintances. And vice versa. We all have a circle of influence. We all have people that we know that nobody else does. But yet God wants us to find one. To reach one, we must find one. The Lord Jesus was walking through Jericho. And he's just minding his own business, right? Going through town. What happens? And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord. That's later on in the story. Let me get my story right. So he stops at the place, right? Remember? And he looks up and he says, Zacchaeus, you come down. For today, right, I'm going to be in your house. And they go to his house and he makes preparations and Zacchaeus accepts Christ as his Savior. And he says this, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day salvation has come to this house, for so much as he is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. See, Jesus found him one. A wee little man named Zacchaeus, of little stature, but he found one. They stopped and he stopped at that place and he looked up and he said, hey, Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is like, how did he know my name? I love going to restaurants and a waiter or waitress has a name tag, or a service station and mechanic, they have a name tag or something. I always love just walking up and say, how you doing, Ron? How'd you know my name? Oh, right there. They always say that, you know, they forget that they have the name on their shirt, you know. I really love it when they have a name on their shirt and it's not them. You know, I'll call them whatever name that is. Oh, hi, Mike. Oh, my name's not Mike. Oh, well it says Mike right there. Well, I'm borrowing this. Oh, okay. But, you know, call them by name. Surprise them. It's fun because it starts a conversation, you know. Because what am I doing? I'm looking for one. I'm looking for one. Who have you found this 2021 to minister to? Who have you found to share the gospel with? Who have you found to tell someone about Jesus? In John 4:35 it says, see not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Say, oh, it's only January, Brother Combs. I got time. I can still reach one in 2021, I'll do it next month. Right? Somebody told me a shirt they saw. It says, procrastinators, tomorrow's leaders. Y'all get that right? Okay. Yeah. Uh-huh. Don't salt away the year. Don't say, hey, and tomorrow, next week, nah, next month. Oh, pretty soon it's going to be December and you're going to say, oh, I haven't reached one yet. I better go find me one. I've only got 22 shopping days till Christmas. Uh-huh. No, find one today. Find one today. You know, I bet you there's someone out there today that God wants you to find. Say, oh, no, Brother Combs, not me. Yes, you. Why not you? Hey, young people, why not you? You know, there's no age limit on, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Doesn't say, and ye shall be witnesses unto me when you're 21 years of age. And ye shall be witnesses unto me when you can speak in a full, complete sentence. Doesn't say that, does it? Because some adults can't do that, so that wouldn't hurt or help. he says, say not yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. God says, you got to find one. Paul found one. Go back to 19, right after 18. If you're in 18, you're right there by 19. Look at this. Paul came to Corinth, found one, right? Okay? And Paul only did that once in his life. Correct? 19 verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. Uh-oh, did it again. He did it again. You know, Paul did this over and over again. Yeah, over and over again. He found people. I used to love being with my grandpa, my mom's dad. He passed away this past April. One unique thing about my grandpa is everywhere he went, he knew somebody. It was just uncanny. I was amazed. One time we were in Fargo. I was a teenager, and you know, Fargo's a big city as far as North Dakota is concerned. You know, around 200,000 people. It's a big city. And it's the biggest one in North Dakota. But you know, to a country boy that grew up in a town of 8,000, was born in a town of 1,200, that's a big deal. Okay? And so we were in Fargo, and we were at the mall of all places. And I don't remember why we were there, but we were there. Maybe grandma was shopping or my mom was shopping. Somebody was there. I don't know. But my grandpa would just go sit down in the, you know, those places that they have to sit down there in the mall. And without fail, he'd sit next to somebody, start talking with them, and he knew their aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, grandpas, third person twice removed from this side that used to farm next to his farm. I was amazed. Small world. And he found somebody. We got to be willing to open our mouth. We need to be willing to open our heart and open our mind to go out and find someone to reach for Christ. We have to do it on purpose. It's not going to happen by accident. Paul was looking for an Aquila. Paul was looking for these certain disciples in Ephesus. He found them. And to reach one, we've got to go find one. We've got to go find one. Look upon the fields. They're white already. They're out there. Open your eyes. Look for them. Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, follow me. I don't know if he whistled like that, but makes for good entertainment, right? Hey, you, come on, follow me. And I will make you fishers of men. Hey, Jesus found somebody. He did. He found 12 that he could work with, spend time with, teach and train to do the work of the ministry. You know, God wants us to go out and find one. Oh, look at this. And straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren. I'm walking down the shore. Hey, you, come on. Follow me. That was enough, right? He found two. Two was enough. I'm done for the day. Let's call it a night. Let's go have supper. Walked a little further. Ha ha, it's two more. James and John. Sons of Thunder. Right? I want those guys. Follow me. they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Got to go find one, folks. To reach one, you've got to find one. All right? To reach one, you've got to teach one. You've got to teach one. Look at verse 4, back in Acts 18. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He persuaded them that Jesus was Christ. He taught them. He showed them from the scriptures how they had been following the wrong philosophy. How they haven't understood that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised one, the Savior of the world. And he persuaded them that Jesus was Christ. Look at verse 26. This speaking of Apollos, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. They taught him. They taught him. They took him in and taught him. They saw someone with great potential. Someone that knew the scriptures, but did not have salvation. And they showed him Jesus Christ. They taught him. They took time and they instructed and they went over the scriptures and they revealed to him the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, it takes time to teach. It takes time to teach. One of the things that I totally despised about missing school this past spring was I didn't get the time I needed with my kids, my school kids, to teach them. They wanted us to do it virtually. All right, big whoop-de-dee. That doesn't do anything. I mean, kids have short enough attention spans the way it is. You think they're going to stare at a screen for that long? No way. They're not going to listen anyways. They may stare at it, but they're not going to. Eyes open, brain off. Okay? No, no, no. We need to teach them. It takes time. Let me just run through. Where does the time go? Okay. It takes time to preach a message. So stay put. Okay. Acts 19:4. Then Paul and John, verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul found these guys, right, in Ephesus. These disciples, and they believed the way of John, and he taught them about Jesus. And they believed and were baptized. He took the time. Jesus in his ministry. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, by what authority dost thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? God did. That was his answer. In the same hour, Jesus said to the multitude, are ye come out against me as a thief with swords and staves for to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple, and ye laid no hold on me. Hey, teaching takes time. Jesus spent 3.5 years teaching, showing the people of God who he was, what he was, and what he was there for. Spent a lot of time. You know the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and 7. 5, 6, and 7. Jesus spent a lot of time teaching. He spent a lot of time alone with the disciples teaching. And yet they didn't understand. Many times he got frustrated with them and said, hello? Have you no faith? Well, you have little faith. I preach a message on little faith, no faith, much faith. You know, he said, hey guys, aren't you getting it? And I told you I had to go and be crucified and die. And hello? Hey, Peter, I told you you're going to deny me. Well, weren't you paying attention? Yeah, sometimes that's how I feel as a teacher as well. Jesus taught and taught and taught. He taught his disciples to teach. Paul taught. Peter, James, and John taught. These men went through and taught because Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. It takes time to teach, folks. Go find one. And then teach one. Well, in order to reach one, we've got to find one. We've got to teach one. That means to encourage one. You know, people need encouragement. They don't need to be discouraged. They need to be encouraged. Look at verse 27. Apollos, right, came. He was eloquent in the scriptures, mighty in the scriptures. But he believed in only knowing of the baptism of John. He was taught more perfectly the way of grace through Jesus Christ by Aquila and Priscilla. And then it says in verse 27, when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them much, which had believed through grace. Apollos was just a young preacher boy at that point, right? Mighty in the scriptures, eloquent of speech, and now knew the way of the Lord more perfectly because of the teaching of someone who found him and taught him. And then they encouraged him. They wrote a letter saying, hey, he's a good man. You need to receive him. He can help you. You know, people just need a little encouragement. As far as we know, Apollos went off and did a great work for the Lord. He's commended later on. Paul, toward the end of his life, says that he salutes Apollos. He says, hey, and in Corinthians, remember, he said, you know, some say I'm of Paul and some say I'm of Apollos. We know Apollos went and did a great work. He went and preached the gospel. And I believe it's because there were some people, mainly Aquila and Priscilla and the brethren there in Ephesus, that loved him and encouraged him in the faith. You know, it'd be a shame for me to live X amount of years with my children and never encourage them. Wouldn't that be a shame? What kind of adults do you think they'd turn out to be? Defeated? Right? Little self-esteem, maybe not outgoing, such and so forth. But what happens when you encourage one? Doesn't the Bible say, iron sharpeneth iron, so doth a man sharpen the countenance of his friend? Yeah. Remember how God said to Cain, why is thy countenance fallen? See, you did something wrong, right? When our countenance is uplifted by others, doesn't that strengthen us? Doesn't that cause us to press on and go forward? Can you think of someone who influenced your life after salvation in teaching and in encouragement? Yeah. Yeah. That's what we need. I love this. Over in Deuteronomy, I gotta wrap this up. People online are gonna start eating lunch in about 2 minutes. Y'all see the cartoon I put in an announcement today? Okay, those of you at home, you can't see an announcement. It said something about Billy not coming to church because he has the app on his phone now. So, he doesn't have to come to church. Anyways. But Joshua, the son of Nun, which standeth before thee, he shall go in thither, God said to Moses. Encourage him. God told Moses, encourage him, for he shall cause Israel to inherit it. Later on in Deuteronomy 3, it says, but charge Joshua and encourage him. Moses was Joshua's encourager. I mean, think about this. The man that Joshua looked up to. Was there to encourage Joshua as the next leader of Israel. You go and find somebody. You win them to Christ. You start teaching them the scriptures and showing them the way. You know who they look up to? You! Their big brother or big sister in the faith. They look to you for encouragement. They look to you for motivation. They look to you for admonishment and love and care. To you. Give it to them. Give it to them. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. One last place. Go to Acts chapter 2. Church experienced great growth in one day. From 120 to 3,120. Wow. You know what needed to be done? A lot of teaching and a lot of encouraging. Look at verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Hey, doctrine? What is that? Teaching. And fellowship, what is that? Encouraging. And in breaking of bread and in prayers, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and in breaking of bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. It sounds like a wonderful time of people being found, people being taught, and people being encouraged. You know, we need to encourage those that we find. We need to teach those that we find. We need to find some to reach. That's what it means to reach one. Go find one. Go teach one. And go encourage one. Starts with one. Hey, it's January 10th. Found anybody yet? Found anybody yet? Hey, listen. I've got one in my mind. I got my eye on one already. Here in Wiley, Texas. I do. By golly, if God will let me, I'm gonna reach him. And if not, I'll find another one. And another one. And another one. And another one. Each one. Reach one in 2021.